What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Program to start up, and here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson, and today we have returning guest and fellow bow hunter and fellow outdoor enthusiast, Mr. Bob Polanic. Bob, how we doing, man?
Doing good.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
How's your nutsack doing?
It's good. I'm a week post-op, and I got a workout in. Did a bunch of yard work over the weekend, so yeah. Doing okay. Still a little tender, and yep. I'll just say it: my balls are black and blue.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That happens, dude.
Yep. I didn't know that part of it.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Little inflammation down there. Little swelling down there.
Yeah, there was. Good
little,
now.
Yep.
Good now.
Little color.
Yeah.
Gone down.
Yeah, little color. Yeah.
Hey, that's all good, dude. That's all good. All right. Today, the topic of conversation is going to be we're going to keep it in the bow hunting for whitetail realm, all right? And with a specific topic in that realm of bare necessities for bow hunting. What products do you absolutely have to have for bow hunting? And I feel like this is going to be a fun and interesting conversation. And I think what we're going to do is I'm guessing the evolution of this conversation is going to go from what do you actually need to what we would probably recommend for someone who's new into bow hunting.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Before we get into today's episode, though, I do want to do a quick commercial break. If you guys are looking for any type of scent elimination products, if you're looking for any real or synthetic deer urine, if you are looking to start experimenting with mock scrape kits, do me a big favor. Head on over to CodeBlueScents.com and take a look at all the products that these guys offer. I'm a huge fan of the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape system, and give it a try. I do have a discount code for Code Blue Sense, and it is NFC20, and that's going to save you 20% on your purchase. Next on the list is the Feed Hub. Now, the Feed Hub is a brand new product from Moultrie Mobile that you can, it's a device that you can attach to any spin cast feeder that allows you to monitor your feed levels, to feed on demand remotely through the Moultrie Mobile app. So you can check your Moultrie Mobile trail cameras and you can check your feeder all on the same app, as well as scheduled feed times. It allows you to unclog your feeder if you have a feeder issue. So do me a favor, go to MoultrieMobile.com and check out the Feed Hub. All right. I'm gonna serve to you. All right. We're playing tennis now. And I'm serving the ball to you. What is the first product that you want to talk about when it comes to bow hunting for whitetails?
I'm just trying to think back to when I got into bow hunting, because honestly, it wasn't that long ago. Probably 15 years.
Yeah.
Just going to do a layup here on the tennis court. Mm-hmm. You need a bow.
Yep. Yep.
You don't need to go entry. You don't need to go high end. Mm-hmm. If I was getting into bow hunting and I was there's a couple ways to look at it. Maybe I've always gun hunted, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to step into the bow hunting world, or maybe I just want to get into hunting in general and yep. I'm going to go into the bow world. Either way, I think that I'm searching a Facebook group for a used bow, because okay. you can get like a 5-year-old top of the line Matthews Hoyt Bowtech, whatever, probably fully loaded for $500-$600.
Yeah. And just a guess here, how old do you think some of these bows are that are going to be for sale once people start checking out the secondary market for archery equipment?
They're going to be anywhere from a year old to 8 years old. I mean, I still see 10-year-old, 12-year-old yeah. bows, because I'm part of all those. Well, I don't think you can sell them on Marketplace with Facebook.
Not Facebook. Nope, you can't.
But you can sell them in a group, though. So if you're like part of like a Hoyt archery group or a Matthews archery group, there's yeah. guys selling those used bows all the time.
Yep.
And honestly, you buy a 10-year-old bow, that technology is really not that bad.
No.
And you could probably get into it for a couple $100 at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So. And even, like you said, with a sight and a rest already on it, set up, mm-hmm. ready to go. It's just a matter yep. of finding the correct draw weight and the correct draw length, weight and length that you require. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yep. Now, when it comes to looking for bows, you know, you just mentioned right there the secondary market. Now, if you did want to be budget friendly and you wanted to go and buy something brand new, but not like one of these Matthews flagship bows or Bowtech or Hoyt, you know, not the flagship bows, not all brands have their sister company, but Bowtech has Diamond. Right. We have other bows that are, I'm not going to say secondary because some of their technology is still pretty good, but we have Athens Archery. We have Martin Archery. We have even brands like Oneida. And what's another kind of like a secondary? I don't want to say secondary, but
Mission. Mission's a. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, Mission Archery. So I would look in there, and you can get a brand new bow for $400, $500, give or take. Now, is it going to be comparable to the flagship models? No, but my gut tells me new archers don't need that at all.
No,
no.
I think also what you would get with if you buy new is you do get a warranty.
Yes.
Yep. And if you buy on the secondary market, I think warranty is voided.
Yep.
For most of these flagship companies.
Right. So that's definitely something to think about. And what I would do is I would even put it out on social media, or if you, whoever, whatever way you got into hunting, and especially if you're like late onset hunter who is 25 and older, 30 or older, whatever, usually you're getting into hunting. You know, there's a handful of ways one gets into hunting, but the person who you first contact that kind of persuades you to get into hunting, they're, I bet you they have contacts, because right now I have three bows. I have four bows in my house, and I don't know why I don't sell them. They're just kind of hanging around right now, but I could sell three of these right now and not even worry about it. So I would just, you know, reach out to contacts, search up a local archery shop, or go to a box store. Like, I know Shields here in Iowa has a secondary market of products. You're going to probably be paying a little bit more on them, but still, they sell used bows. So just something to think about when you start this process of looking for a bow.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff.
Okay. So, now, unless you're going trad right out of the gate, right, you got to find a site. All right. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend as far, and let's lump sights and rest into this conversation, because ultimately I feel like setting up your bow, you need both of these things. What's the next step? Maybe you figured out your draw length, you figured out your bow. What is the next step as far as accessories are concerned?
Yeah, like you were kind of alluding to, a rest and a sight. I've always shot a drop away. Mm-hmm. But they are expensive.
Exactly.
I have realized that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've realized that. So if you're on a budget, you definitely get away with a whisker biscuit. I don't think there's anything wrong with those.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think are they pretty quiet when you draw? That's always been my concern.
Yeah.
Is the arrow kind of grinding on the...
No, I have...
The whisker biscuit material.
No, I have... I mean, yes, it does. But it's not what you remember those aluminum arrows. And before, so like when I first started archery, I had one of those pin rests where it was just a pin on the riser of my bow, and it would sat, it didn't drop away, it wasn't concealed, it was just this little pin that stuck out of the riser, and you would set your arrow right on top of it.
I see. Okay. Yep.
And then when you'd shoot it, it would flex like this, it would flex out with the arrow. Now, you can get away with that. But I would say spend the $60 or whatever it takes to get a whisker biscuit. And I feel like the whisker biscuit is probably the best option for new bow hunters out there, because it's one less thing to worry about while you're sighting in and preparing yourself for your first hunt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yep. For sure.
And a lot of these companies have packages where
you're right.
Where
right.
I'm almost positive Diamond has packages. I know there's other companies out there that have a package deal where, hey man, you buy this bow, you're getting a sight and you're getting a rest already built into it. And there's obviously, if you're brand new to bow hunting, you and I know there are options for every, I don't know, 1,000 different options, right? There's probably 100 different sights and rests that you can put on your bow, but yeah. This is something that I would not overthink. I would get the whisker biscuit rest and then find a very cheap sight that you can pair with it. Now, we've talked about this on the last episode, I believe, and it was the Trophy Ridge React sites, that technology. They are a little bit more expensive. They're going to be over $100 depending on what model of that technology you buy. But I feel for an entry level person, that rest or that site is going to be the most beneficial, because you're going to have to spend less time actually sighting in all of your pins, right? You sight in 20, you sight in 30, and then your 40, 50, and 60, depending on what model you buy, they're already set.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Keep it simple. I was going to say this. I would go fixed pin, and whether it's the React or just a cheap $50, $60, $70 pin, just even just a three pin. If you're whitetail hunting, a three pin, that's all you really need.
Yep.
I
would stay away from single pin sights with yardage knobs on them. I just don't think that a beginner bow hunter needs to mess with that stuff. Now there's guys out there who probably disagree with me, but that's just my opinion. That's my thought on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything as far as products are concerned, bows and arrows, or not arrows, but bows and accessories that attach to the bow that we should be thinking about?
I mean, a run-of-the-mill quiver. Yeah. You need that. You do not need a stabilizer.
No, you don't.
No matter. No, you don't. You really don't. I have yet to put a stabilizer on that new Matthews, and I'm launching them at 80, and I'm in a pie plate. So.
Yep.
Best I've ever shot. So.
Yep. And I think the statistics show that unless you're stabilizer is over, is it 8 or 10 inches? It doesn't have an effect on the bow other than maybe shock absorption. That's about it.
Yeah.
So I really wouldn't worry about a stabilizer. Okay. Now with a bow, let's go to the next obvious one, and that is arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would your recommendation be on arrows?
I would just use your bow shop and have them just grab you an arrow in your budget range that has the correct spine for your draw length and draw weight.
Yep.
You don't need to get super complicated with it.
Yep.
Same with broad heads. I would recommend a mechanical just because your form might not be great and might have some tuning issues with a fixed blade.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's where I would go with that.
Yeah, that's a very good recommendation. And obviously, you know, they have carbon. They have most arrows are carbon these days, but they also have like the full metal jackets that are carbon, carbon cores with an aluminum jacket around the outside. Yeah. Man, you don't need lighted nocks. As far as arrow setup is concerned, depending on how much weight you're pulling, you can probably get away with a arrow in the 7 grains per inch range. That's a guess, right? Somewhere around there with a total arrow weight of 350 or higher, I would guess. And that includes the broadhead as well. But really when it comes to arrows, I don't want to say, like, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to arrows because I don't necessarily know if the price, there are other arrows out there that are more expensive than the brand that I use, but the Day 6 arrows, they're very expensive compared, like, not expensive. That's the wrong word because there's other arrows out there that are more expensive, but what I'm getting at is that in my opinion, those are the highest quality arrows. So this is my passion. So that's why I spend my money on those types of products. Just like I talked to a guy who bought a $800 softball bat.
Wow.
And so, but that's what he does, right? Yeah. He plays softball during the summer. And so he spent his money where his passion is. And so if you have the money, you can definitely buy the most quality, the highest gear, but be careful because there are people out there who think that the gear is what is going to make you successful. And that could not be further from the truth.
No, I agree with you. I'll agree with you on the arrows. It's just, you can go down a rabbit hole so quick with arrows.
Exactly.
When I remember being new into it and I had just a handful of arrows and they were mismatched and stuff like that. And I ended up losing enough of them where I only had like two or three and was getting knocking on the door, hunting season. So I went and bought a half dozen, already pre-fleshed and all that. And I ended up spending, like, back of that, this is 15 years ago, it was like $80 on six arrows.
Yeah.
And so they were a higher end arrow. Mm-hmm. But I could definitely, when I went and started shooting those, I became much more accurate than with my little mix of hodgepodge arrows with different style fletchings and stuff like that. So consistency is a big key in archery.
Yeah.
What you're shooting on your bow. And nowadays I kind of look at, like, your arrow and your broadhead are literally the only thing that connect you to the animal you're trying to kill.
100%. So it's got to be important. It's got to be, it's got to be well thought out.
Yeah. And I would recommend lighted knocks. You don't have to have them, but a lighted knock for a new bow hunter, when you shoot your first deer, it's a pretty good, I mean, it's a huge adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
And you might not, until you start shooting deer, you don't really recall what it's like in that exact moment to watch where you hit and then watch where the deer ran and stuff like that.
Right.
I know a lot of entry-level hunters that if they shot a deer and you ask them where it went, they're like, I don't know.
Right.
I blacked out. So a lighted knock, or they don't know where they hit it exactly, a lighted knock would help with that.
Understood. So, yeah, 100%. Yeah. At the same time, you can go to any big box store right now, whether that's a Bass Pro Shop or even a Walmart or a Dick's Sporting Goods, and they sell arrows there that you can buy. They're probably the cheapest on the market. So if you are trying to just get into archery, those would be great. If you're trying to bow hunt, I would and kill an animal with your bow, your archery setup, I would do just a little bit more research into it. But for the most part, I'll be honest with you, man, you give me a budget of $1,000 and I could probably put together a setup, you know, and that includes 12 arrows, that includes three broadheads, that includes a rest, a sight, and a bow. And I'm almost positive I can kill a deer with that under $1,000. And I know $1,000 seems steep right now, but everything's expensive right now.
Yeah.
You could probably even get away with $700.
Yeah.
Maybe even $500, depending on the biggest purchase is going to be the bow for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Bow, arrows. We've talked about broadheads. Oh yeah, that's right. Unless you're pulling fingers, which I don't recommend on a compound bow, right? So if you're a trad bow, there's a whole nother conversation for you that you should go have with someone who knows more about trad gear than we do. So do you have a trad bow?
I don't. No.
Okay.
No.
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 So the next thing is going to be release, right? And so again, what would you recommend for a first release?
Just your standard wrist release, index, trigger, true fire, true ball, whatever it is, 40, $50 on the shelf at an archery shop.
Gotcha. Okay.
About that?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue that. However, I would say that when it comes to releases, I would recommend going and starting off maybe without a trigger, a wrist release, and maybe start off with a thumb release. And I know they're easier, but if you've never shot archery before and you're trying to do it, I feel like you're going to, it may feel uncomfortable at first, but once you get comfortable with that thumb release or a back tension release, then you're going to be one step ahead of yourself. And then you can maybe transfer into a wrist release. I would recommend go more difficult first and then back step into something easier so you can get your form settled in first. Does that make sense?
It does. But I would like to tell the listeners that this advice is coming from someone with nine fingers.
So. You son of a bitch.
Oh, dude, layup. That's easy. Is it? Are you right-handed? Is it on your right hand?
Yep. Yep.
So, okay.
So when I first got my finger cut off, let's see, I think I got my finger cut off on a, it was either, I think it was a Saturday night. And then I went to the hospital. I spent the night in the hospital one night. And then I went home for 2 days, pretty much just slept 2 days straight. And then by that Thursday, then I traveled back home in, here to Iowa. And then on Thursday, I was on, in the tree stand.
Nice,
and,
boy.
Yep. And so because I believe it was late October or early November when I got my finger cut off. And so all I had to do was rotate the wrist release just a little bit in my hand to where the trigger almost that the what do they call that even part of it? The caper, the
caliper
was basically in the metal post leading up to it was my index finger. So all I had to do is rotate it and then use my middle finger to, so it wasn't too terribly bad, except that first handful of days I was shooting my bow practicing, it hurt to draw it back. It hurt my hand, but, I got the job done. And, and so I started off with a wrist release because it was what was available, and I've shot just about every type of, release since then and have recently fallen into the thumb release game. So
okay. I have not gone down that rabbit hole yet.
Yeah.
I was just looking last night at like the rigid wrist release versus like the one that has like the nylon strap that connects to the caliber.
Yeah.
I didn't pull the trigger on anything on buying a new release, but I just shoot a standard.
Yeah.
Scott one, but yeah.
Absolutely. It's just, man, every time I go out west and I go on a stalk, I am so worried that I'm going to lose my rangefinder or I'm going to lose my thumb release because I don't really have a wrist strap for it. I just, when I'm in the tree stand, I clip my thumb release into the D loop. And so it's ready. All I got to do is pick up my bow and go for it. With the wrist release, it's on your wrist. But when you're doing spot and stalk type stuff, you know, falls out of a pocket or or things like that. So it's a little bit, it's just an extra thing to worry about because it's not connected to your body. I mean, you could put it on a wrist, like a wrist loop and then have it hang and you can just carry it in your hand. But I don't know. It just seems like another thing hanging off your body that I don't want.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
I would recommend, I always have a backup release. Yeah. A failed release cost me, still to this day, one of the biggest bucks I've ever had an encounter with. 19 yards. It broke on my release broke on me. Drawn back on them. 8-day hunt, November 6, 2020.
Dang, son. That would piss me off. I did that on a mule deer hunt a couple of years ago. I did a spot and stalk where I was on my hands and knees in the middle of the prairie working up on this group of deer. And the end of the wrist release, the metal part, became loose. And as I'm crawling through the grass, it fell off. And so I had just a screw at the end of it. And so when I went to go grab my release, I look at it and I was just like, done. Like, I'm done. Why even continue this stock? Because I can't do fingers. I'm not going to do fingers. Right. That's not fair to the deer. So yeah. Release again, a whole bunch of different styles and options to choose from. The good thing about, where we are at today, there are a lot of places out there, whether it's a Dick's Sporting or not Dick's, but like a Bass Pro, Cabela's, Shields, Academy Hunting or Academy Sports, I believe has hunting gear and equipment. You can go try all these things out. Like when I was, when I first started out bow hunting, I basically got a kit from somebody. It was at a garage sale. Like, here's all this bow hunting stuff I have. You can take it, you buy it, and you get everything. And so, yeah. Okay. Now, in that last comment, would you say that a rangefinder is a necessity or not?
No, I didn't hunt with a rangefinder for probably the first three, four years. Okay. As I would approach my tree stand, I would kind of count my steps. I would kind of like pick a tree.
Yep.
And then I would count how many steps it took me to get to my tree stand. And then it's like, oh, that was 30 paces. That tree's at 30 yards. So anything kind of in that radius is going to be a 30-yard trap.
Yep.
Or 20 or whatever.
Yep.
So
I've told this story before on the podcast where my first year of bow hunting, I took paint sticks that my parents got, you know, when they would buy a gallon of paint. And I took paint sticks and I would cut the bottoms of them with a box cutter. So it made a point, and I would actually stake those into the ground. And so I would take 20 steps equals 20 yards. And then I would put that stake down into the dirt and I would know, okay, that's 20 yards. And then I would go 30 yards and then I would go and that 40 yards, I believe. So it might've even been, 10, 20, 30 was my first, the first pins my first bow. And man, that was what I did. It wasn't yards, it was steps. And so I sighted everything in by steps. Now did I kill any deer that way? Nope. Because I didn't have a ground blind and I didn't know anything about deer at that point. So how they smell, like what they're afraid of. You can't just sit in a gate opening with these sticks out in the pasture thinking you're going to be able to get away with a clean shot without them seeing you. And so I look back at that and it's kind of funny. So new bow hunters, know a release is not a necessity, or excuse me, a rangefinder is not a necessity, but I think it would help you drastically. And you can go find, cheap or more affordable rangefinder options on golf stores. They're made in China. The batteries won't last long. It'll probably only last you, depending on how well you take care of your equipment. I'm guessing it's only going to last probably a year or two before you probably have to get a new one. But they're like $30. You can find them on Amazon or Range.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. They're dirt cheap. Huh. They're not quality built, but I'm guessing that the range is accurate.
Got it.
So
got it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I remember looking at range finders back when I first got into it and I was like, I'm not spending $260 on a range finder. You know what I mean?
Yep.
When you're 19, 20 and you're broke.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, I would just start off with steps. If you decide to take hunting more serious, then I would recommend it. But outside of that, it would help drastically, but I don't think it's a necessity to do that. So, okay.
Yeah.
Now, as we get out of the bow, the arrows, everything else, now it's going to be more of an opinion-based conversation because I've killed deer in blue jeans. I've killed deer without camo. I've killed deer without boots even. I killed deer in a pair of tennis shoes before, early season or doe early season one year. And so I'm looking at all my gear in my head and I'm just thinking outside of that, you don't need binoculars.
No.
You don't need trail cameras. You don't even need camo at this point, you know?
So no, you really don't.
Yeah. So outside of everything that we talked about, man, are there any other products that you would deem necessary for a brand new bow hunter, or the bottom out basics?
I mean, you don't need it, but a tree stand is nice. I'm just trying to think, you know, if I'm new into bow hunting and it's going to stick, there are some comforts to it. So
yeah,
you don't need a tree stand or a ground blind to go hunt, but spot and stalk and deer as a beginner, probably not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And then if you're just standing, I don't know, next to a tree, that's going to suck for 3 hours, mm-hmm. right? You're going to want to sit down.
Yep.
So I don't know. A tree stand would be, and you can get some pretty cheap tree stands also.
Yep.
Facebook Marketplace. You can get a full blown hang on and sticks for like $50.
Oh yeah. Now
I buy them all the time because I would pay someone $50 to assemble a hang on.
Yeah.
And I can buy it for that.
Yep.
So,
yep. I'll tell you this. There are tree stand companies out there that are very affordable. Now, do they have the leveling capability that one might want? Nope. Yeah. Right? Are they loud? Yep. Are they, is there a chance that some is there a chance that some welds might fail? Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, dude, for sure.
Yeah.
That little mesh that you stand on, the welds pop all the time.
Yep.
Well, we're probably bigger guys too. So yeah. if you're smaller,
probably maybe not.
They won't break on you.
Right. I mean, sticks in a ladder stand, yes, you're going to be able to find, sticks in a hang on, you're going to be able to find something under $100, I would assume.
Yeah.
And then ladder stands, you know, also you can go to Farm King or Tractor Supply Company. I feel sells ladder stands. They're cheapos, they're steel, and they're not quiet, but if you're hunting a small property and you have limited options, or, you know, I'm guessing most new hunters are going to try to hunt field edges so they can see longer distances. But outside of that, man, put a ladder stand in a good position, and I think you'd be okay for starters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because as we all know, getting elevated is going to help you. I feel
it. Yeah, it does. It does.
Yep. And then once you get more experience under your belt, then you're going to be able to tweak all of these products and find stuff that makes you more comfortable and more confident, and not just the bare minimums to go ahead and get you out in the woods.
Yep. Yep. Yep, exactly.
Other than that, I think the only, and this is just like outdoors in general, it's not a hunting thing, but if you're going to be spending a lot of time outside, and because this is the hunting gear podcast, we're going to assume you're going to be hunting in some way, shape, or form. I would assume that you would want a good pair of boots.
Yep.
Right. So I would select, do you need them? No. But, you know, if you're in the Midwest and you're new, it's going to get cold in the morning. So, you know, find a good pair of boots and socks that you can basically control the temperature of your feet and your foot health with a good boot that's not going to rub, it's not going to fall apart. Boots come in all shapes and sizes, tons of brands out there that are hunting focused, but they don't have to be hunting focused. And so I would probably recommend a good pair of boots over just about any other product that we talked about today.
Yeah, it is step one.
Yep. Literally. Yep. Get it? knife.
I was just going to say that.
Yep.
You definitely, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Definitely need a knife.
Elaborate on that.
Well, if you kill something, you know, the steak knife out of the drawer is not gonna get the job done for you. Just need a knife to gut your animal, get the field dress it, get the guts out, get it cooling down, and you're gonna run into some problems.
You know, there's a tons of different knife options on there. Do you want to be responsible for sharpening the knife yourself? Then there is, you know, a lot of fixed blade options, but I use a Outdoor Edge. It's like a combo kit that has it's a combo knife. It's like a Swiss Army knife, and it's got the gut hook on it. It's got a built-in blade that is really sharp. It's a built-in fixed blade that's really sharp. It has a bone saw built into it, and then it also has the replaceable blade slot where you can. It's basically a razor, right? It's a thinner sheet of metal that's been shaped down into basically the sharpness of a razor, and that is the combination that I use. That cost me $120, I think it was. There are cheaper options available, and there's like buck knives, right? They're a fixed blade option. We have, man, I'm trying to think of other brands. What other
Gerber.
Gerber, obviously. Yep. Gerber.
Gerber.
Yep. Gerber.
I basically, what you explained with the blades, you can switch in and out. I have that. And yeah. I think it's a Gerber brand.
Yeah. Gerber has pretty much all the same things. So that would be something that I would want to keep in, because
your person.
Yeah. As you will learn, having a dull knife can suck, and it can ruin a hunt if you get something down and you're like, okay, why isn't this knife cutting open this hide? And then it just becomes this gruesome experience where you're just basically squeezing meat off bones. You're not even cutting it. You're just, you know what I mean? It's nasty. Uh-huh.
So, yep.
Yeah. Man, for the first 5 years, maybe even more of hunting that I did, I would say from 2000 and pre 2006 is just a blur to me because I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. But in 2006, I said, I'm going to try really hard to become a better deer hunter because it's what I love. And so I had up from 2006 until I want to say 2011, maybe even, I had the same backpack. I bought it at Cabela's, and it was a camo school backpack, pretty much. I mean, there was no frame, there was no durability to it. Over the course of 5 years, it pretty much dwindled down to nothing, holes all over it. And so even a pack, you can get away with the bare minimum of a pack to carry in and out clothes, to, you know, carry food or snacks, to carry water, to carry extra layers of clothing. There are real affordable options in that world as well.
What is natural? When you read natural flavors on a label, most people don't realize it's often not real food at all. Those hidden ingredients quietly work against how your body feels and functions over time. That's why Just Ingredients uses only real food ingredients, so you know exactly what you're putting in your body. Stop guessing. Start knowing at justingredients.us.
Yep. I didn't even use any sort of pack for the first 4 or 5 years that I went bow hunting. And I think back to how just like freeing that was.
Oh,
you know what I mean? When you just walked out into the woods and jumped in a tree stand, you pulled your bow up and you were good to go. So you've done the self-filming game and all that, lugging 30 pounds worth of gear with you, the setup, the takedown. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like just hunt.
Yep, I'm sure there's going to be somebody who invents a product that weighs 80 pounds that is going to be marketed to. Like, look at the old Big Buck cinder block. Just take the cinder block with you everywhere you go, and bucks will be come running in, right? It's just like, why am I carrying this cinder block out into the woods? There's no function behind it. So they're like
throwing it. It's when deer are underneath you.
On their heads.
Yeah. Dude, I saw someone with a backpack on I didn't see them in person. It was a picture on Facebook. I hope it was a joke. But they had a backpack on to hike through the mountains, and they had like heavy duty balloons filled with helium tied to their backpack to take the weight to lift the backpack and make it lightweight.
Yeah, until you go through your first timber experience.
Right.
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 It just pops.
I get it. I get it. But maybe you're hunting open country. I don't know. That's going to be, you know, that's going to become a thing, right? That's going
to
be
helium laced hunting products to make everything seem lighter.
There it is. Dude,
we've come up with a couple good ideas.
You got to edit this out, man. We got to patent this.
Why don't you go? Yeah, you work on the patent. today, and we'll see what happens.
Don't steal our idea. It was here first,
right? The helium pack out balloon, right?
There
where
it is.
You have a big heavy duty bag, and it's full of helium, and it just picks up an elk quarter, and you don't even have to. All you have to do is kind of just finagle it through wherever you're going, right? Or you can attach it to a drone, and the drone just pushes the helium balloon attached to the elk quarter back to the truck. So
there it is.
Man, we are
so... Oh, that'll be that drone thing. That'll be a thing here, I bet, within the next 5-10 years.
You mean packing it out?
Yeah, people will use drones to get their game out of the mountains for sure. I think there's already people that have done it, like on private land.
Yeah.
But I mean, a drone to lift that load is not a cheap drone.
No. Or so small.
Yeah,
it would have to be significantly big.
Yeah, everyone's worried about technology and cell cams and blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about some real technology that's changing the hunting world. Yeah. Drones. Wild. Anyway, sorry.
No, you're right. Dude, I think that is the conversation today. I don't necessarily think there's anything else out there that is a necessity. Like, you don't need grunt tubes. You don't need rattling antlers. Or any type of call, although when it comes to a budget, those are probably some of the most affordable products on the market. So if you had anything left over out of your budget, maybe I'd recommend a grunt tube and then watch a YouTube video on how to use it. But outside of that, man, you don't need too much. I think the barrier to entry as far as products are concerned to get into bow hunting is very small.
You could probably get into it all said and done for probably $1,000.
Yeah.
1200.
Yeah. And that includes a tree stand probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Tree stand, boots, kind of everything we talked about.
Yep.
And if you plan ahead of time, ask for some of this stuff for Christmas, birthdays, whatever it might be.
Watch for sales, right?
Yep.
That come through. Yep. Go to Amazon, go to Craigslist, look for used hunting equipment. And then you would just have to tailor it to your body type, and you're going to be able to hit the woods in a relatively short amount of time, along with continued practice of your weapon, period.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, anything else before we shut her down, Bob?
Not for me. Not that I can really think of. Again, there's so many other things you could recommend, but bare necessities to get into bow hunting and to put a deer on the ground. That's gotta be it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you hopping on again. And this is the third time, I think, in 2 weeks that we connected. So appreciate your time, and I hope your scrotum heals properly.
Appreciate that. I'm glad it's on your mind, Dan. So thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.